So in Philippians, the second chapter, it says, "Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Amen. Above all spiritual powers. Above anything and everything that is a part of the curse of the law. Now notice this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So that means heaven, earth, and hell must recognize the name above every name. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we know that God has seated him in the highest place in the universe, at his very own right hand, and gave him to be the head over all things. The book of Ephesians makes it very clear. He says in verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power." I like the Amplified. It says, "What is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power?" Amen. Now notice this, "in us and for us." Oh, yeah. Amen. Glory to God. The greatness of his power is in you when you receive Jesus. The greatness of his power is upon you when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. And the greatness of his power is for us because we believe. And it was demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. We look back at verse 20 in the King James. It says, "Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Far above, not just a little bit above. Everyone say far above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name. Everyone say every name. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now notice here in verse 22, read it with me, ready, read. "And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Now Moffat's translation, we don't have that on the screen, but Moffat says this, it's for the church. Literally, for the benefit of the church. He did these things on our behalf. He did these things for our advantage. So his authority was not just given to him for himself, but praise God for you and I. So when we pray, when we resist the enemy, when we stand against fear, when we believe for provision, we're exercising authority which has been given to us for our benefit. We could say it with, this way, the name of Jesus has been given for our benefit. It is the believer's advantage. And we've got a congregation full of believers. We have people watching online that are believers. So his power is toward you. Mr. Kenyon, who wrote the book, The Wonderful Name of Jesus, said this, "God has made this investment for the benefit of the church. He has made this deposit on which the church has a right to draw for her every need. He has given to him the name that has within it the fullness of the Godhead, the wealth of the eternities, the love of the heart of the Father, and this name is given to us." And then Mr. Kenyon goes on to write, "We have a right to use that name against our enemies. We have the right to use his name in our petitions. We have the right to use his name in our praise and worship." Say it me, because the name has been given unto us. Now, what he has provided for you, for your benefit, was not without a conflict. It was not without a fight. They took Jesus before they hung him on the cross. They scourged him. They beat him. They pulled out his beard. They mocked him. And they whipped him. And then they made him carry that cross up to the hill where they nailed him to the cross. Jesus, the Son of the living God, was so beaten and so bruised that the Bible says his appearance was not like that of a human being. His visage was so marred. He became our substitute. He took our scourging for us. He took our mocking for us. He took our grief for us. Can you say, thank you, Jesus? Can you just lift up both hands and say, thank you, Lord? So Jesus died on the cross. And they put him in a tomb. And once Jesus was in the tomb, they were having a party down there in hell. But oh, thank God, early Sunday morning. I said early Sunday morning. Their party was interrupted. And 1 Corinthians 2:8 says of this, of the princes and the powers of the air and the demonic forces, it says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the enemy had known, resurrection would follow, authority would transfer, and the church would be born, he would have avoided the cross at all costs. Glory to God. And there's something good in here for us. You may be going through a difficult time, but God can turn the enemy's strategy into your deliverance. You may be in the thick of it right now. You may be going through hell right now, but I want to emphasize the point you're going through. You're not staying there. What you're experiencing is subject to change. Glory to God. I said it's subject to change. God can turn your situation around. Amen. If you'll just continue to believe God and just continue to worship God in your midnight hour, he will come through for you. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, he has come through for me. Now notice what happened. Here's what happened in Colossians 2:15. It says that God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us. And he made a bold display and public example of them, triumphing over them in it and in the cross. The King James Version says he spoiled them. Mr. Young's translation says, having stripped the principalities and the authorities, he made a show of them openly, having triumphed over them in it. That's shouting ground right there. Why is that? Because his triumph is your triumph. That's what Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Amen. Glory to God. Now, there's several other translations that we're not going to take time to read today. One is Rotherham's, one is Phillips, and I think that one is Coney Bear's. But they all describe this Colossians 2:15, what happened. He exposed them. He shattered them. He defeated them. And he paralyzed them. And still another translation says, he brought them to naught. What does that mean, he brought to naught? That means he reduced them to nothing. As far as you and I are concerned, he reduced them to nothing. And Jesus said that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. So stop making such a big deal out of nothing. He's nothing. He is nothing. And if you will give him no place in you, he will have nothing on you. Did you hear that? Give no place to nothing.
That's right.
No place. No place in your thought life. No place in your soul for condemnation. No place in your mind for yielding to the accusations of the enemy.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
For the accuser of the brethren has been cast down.
Yes, he has.
He is the accuser. He is the abuser. But thank God, Christina, he's the loser. He's the loser. So give him no place thinking about your past. For the past is gone at last. And the past must be forgotten. And the past must be let go.
Amen.
Do not talk anymore about how you've missed it. Do not talk any longer about how you have failed. But talk about who you are in me.
Amen.
Talk about the blood cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Talk about how Jesus triumphed over death, hell, and the grave, made a show of them openly, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. That's what came up in my spirit. Stop making such a big deal out of nothing. Hallelujah. And while you're at it, say it, I am.
I am.
The righteousness
of God
in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
You are not righteous because you've done everything right. Right? We are righteous because He has done everything right. And now, because of what He has done, we are right in His sight.
Amen.
So don't give up.
Amen.
Get up.
Yes.
And come on up.
Amen.
For it's a new day.
Right.
It's a new season.
Right.
There's more for you, says the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's take a praise break. Let's just thank Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the enemy had to hide and watch as Jesus stripped him of his power and then took from him the keys of death, hell, and the grave. But He didn't keep those keys. He gave those keys. Paul, you've got keys. You've got keys. We all have keys. What are we to do with those keys? We're not to strut ourselves and say, look, we got the keys, we got the keys. It's one thing to have the keys, but it's another thing to use the keys. You may have the keys to your automobile, but guess what? You're not going anywhere unless you get in that car and use the keys. You'll stay in the same place, stuck in a rut. And it is not the will of God for any of us to be stuck. That's why He's given us the name. That's why He's given us the word. That's why He's given us the blood of Jesus. Say with me, I have the keys. And I intend to use my keys. Jesus said, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So what we need to do with the devil is just put him on the run. We don't want to be like that little old lady who says, you know, I've been on the run, but the devil's been running after me. No, we need to put him on the run. What do you mean put him on the run? Run him out of your life. Run him out of your affairs. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Some of you need to run him out of your marriage. Stop running from the responsibilities of a husband. Stop running from the responsibilities of a wife and put the devil on the run out of your marriage. Whatever disagreements there have been, stop that. Put a stop to strife. And if you will put a stop to strife, it will also put a stop to confusion. And it will put a stop to every evil work that the enemy has in mind to run roughshod over your marriage. That's a word. That's a word. No, I'm not going to give him any place. I'm not going to give him any place. In marriage, you're not always going to agree on everything. How about as Christians? Come on, somebody. We're not always going to agree on every little thing. But one thing we can agree on, we can agree, praise God, that we're not going to, you know, get in strife over it.
Amen.
And that we're going to walk in love.
Yes.
Toward our fellow Christians.
Amen.
And we're going to walk in love in our marriage.
Amen.
Brenda and I don't always agree on everything. But after a while, I usually get it that she was right.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you guys know it's good to listen to your wife? Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, I know we're getting off on this, but it's all good. But you know, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So if there's wrath and you've given place in your marriage, I mean, before you go to bed, take care of it.
Hallelujah.
You don't want to close your eyes and open up your mind to the tormentors. Well, I think that's just good right there. Amen. Say it to me,
we have the name.
Now, early believers knew what they had. Early believers in the early church, they knew what they had. And they used what they had. Without going into great depth, how many of you remember Peter and John going into the temple about 3 o'clock in the afternoon? And they were passing by a crippled man who was begging alms. In verse 6 of Acts 3, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have.
Yeah.
Peter knew what he had.
Yeah.
Peter had something.
Mm-hmm.
He said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Yeah. Amen.
Now picture this. He took him by the right hand. He lifted him up. And immediately his ankle bones receive strength.
Amen.
Do you like that?
Yes.
You know, I thank God for the immediately's.
Amen.
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 You know, Jesus says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And there's a process sometimes. But oh, thank God for the immediately's.
Amen.
And this was something that immediately took place. And it's interesting to me that it took place in a man that didn't know the Lord.
Yeah.
He was just sitting by the temple begging and asking for alms. You'll find, thank you, Jesus, that the greatest miracles that you will see and that you will experience in this day, in this hour, will be toward people that don't know Jesus. Come on, somebody. T.L. Osborne says that divine healing is the dinner bell. I tell you, when people get healed by a miracle of God or an immediate healing, they're going to say, hey, who done this? And they're going to reach out to Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me. We are not limited to that, and miracles are not limited to that, for miracles also belong to the children of God.
Amen.
Amen. But anyway, immediately his ankle bones receive strength. Now, what happened next? Read the next verse with me. Verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered them into the temple, walking. Amen. My Nigerian brother that jumps with me, stand up if you would. Praise the Lord. Stand up. Come on. Come on up here. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. Come on over here. Praise the Lord. I want you to demonstrate what he did, because I'm 75 and I'm not going to demonstrate it. All right. You weren't texting over there, were you? You were listening. Okay. I'm just kidding. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Come on this way. Walking and leaping and praising God. About face. Walking and leaping and praising God. One more time. Walking and leaping and praising God. Thank you. Now, how about you? What are you going to do? Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. And when I don't feel like leaping, I'm going to leap. And when I don't feel like praising, I'm going to praise. I'm going to put the garment of praise on, and I'm going to walk, and I'm going to leap, and I'm going to praise God. Woo! Glory to God. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Woo! Rabasata. Ha, ha. Some of you are going to remember that this week. At home,
yeah.
all by your good self. You might hear a report, you may feel an ache, but you're going to walk by faith. You're going to leap by faith, and you're going to praise God. You are going to rejoice evermore. You're going to pray without ceasing. You're going to give thanks always. And so shall you be filled with all the fullness of God. And there will be no place and there'll be no room for anything else in your life. Ooh, everyone say no room.
No place.
That was kind of fun. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Here's the bottom line. Peter knew he had something. He walked with Jesus. He heard his teaching. In the book of John, for example, chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, read it with me. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now don't check out, it's only 11:15. I don't preach as long as Ricky Edwards. It's probably because he has more to say, but anyway. Notice this. Whatever you will ask in my name. The word ask here also means demand. Everyone say demand.
Demand.
So literally, we could read it like this. Whatever you demand in my name, I, Jesus, will do it. Now, before we go off into a ditch, we're not demanding anything of God. Is that right? That would be foolish. But what he's talking about is using the name of Jesus against the enemy in our daily life. Peter said, such as I have. So you and I have a right to demand the enemy to cease in his maneuvers against anything having to do with our lives.
Yes.
Say with me, whatever I demand,
as my right
and privilege, Jesus will do. Now listen to this next statement very carefully. You cannot demand your rights and privileges if you do not know what they are. I'm going to say it again. You cannot demand your rights and privileges unless you know what they are. And I'm not talking about a surface knowledge. I'm not talking about, well, I've heard that before. I've already got those notes. That's head knowledge. Knowing your rights and knowing your privileges, knowing these revelations must get down into your heart. You have information. But the next step beyond information is revelation. And revelation will come through meditation. And once you have the information and you do the meditation, you'll get the revelation, and then you will have manifestation.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah.
So we're not talking about something surfacey. We're talking about epinosis.
Yes, that's right.
Epinosis in the Greek is the word for knowledge that is revealed to your inner man. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. God's word is spirit and it is life. And it is designed to enter into the hearts of men and women. And when it enters into your heart, open wide your mouth. And yea, speak ye what's been revealed unto thee. And surely you shall see God at work in your life. Surely the goodness of the Lord shall be come upon the scene. Hallelujah. For I am your God and I'm watching over my word to perform it. So give me something to perform. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then open your mouth boldly.
Yeah.
And say with me, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. It shall all come to pass. Guys, that's a way just to whip discouragement. That's a way to kick with discouragement in the tail. Never be, nevermore, nevermore, nevermore. Never will happen, never will happen. No, no, replace that always. Always. He's working on it right now. Brother Hagin used to walk around at Rhema. I thank God for that connection. My goodness. I think about it all the time.
Thank you, Lord.
He used to walk around. And he knew that he was ministering to ministers. But I'm ministering to ministers right now. I'm ministering to every one of you who are ministers. And if it's good enough for Dad, it's good enough for me. So this will whip discouragement. Kick it right in the tail. Declare thou, it shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass.
It shall all come to pass. It shall come to pass at last. It's coming to pass right now.
Amen.
The devil's a liar.
Yeah.
Stop listening to his lies. So you can, this is what the Lord worked with me on. You cannot demand your rights and privileges if you don't know what they are. Rights must be known to be enforced. The Bible reveals our rights. This is our bill or covenant of rights. Hold your Bible up. Hold your device up. And declare thou, this is my bill of rights. This is my covenant of rights. Ooh, glory to God. Which says you have a right to live in freedom.
Amen. That's right.
Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You have a right to live in freedom. Freedom from habits. Freedom from addictions. Freedom from all manner of diseases. It tells us we have a right to reign in life. All of these points are sermons. We have a right to be healed and whole. Because by His stripes, we are healed. We have a right to provision. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We've got a right to prosper. I said, we got a right to prosper. We've got a right to increase. We've got a right to advance. We do not have to be stuck anymore. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, he became poor. That you through his poverty might have abundance. So that you through his poverty might have a full supply. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Amen.
He's given you the power.
Yeah, that's right.
He's given you the authority. He's given you the name to tell the devil to take his stinking hands off of your finances. He's given you his angels. He's given you his angels. Now give the angels he's given you something to do. Your angels should not be standing around your household waiting for you to give the command. No, the Bible says they hearken to the voice of his word. I can't help it. I'm excited. They hearken. In other words, they listen to the voice of God's word coming out of your mouth because it came into your heart. And you boldly released your faith.
Amen.
Say with me, my God
has given his angels
charge over me. And my God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I know something about this because my mind was blown. Be honest about it. When I went into treatment in 1974, my mind was blown. I had demons. I got up in the middle of the night during the treatment time, and I looked in the mirror, and it wasn't me looking at me in the mirror. It was some demonic force in my eyes. My mind was shot. My mind was gone. But then I found out, Don. I found out. I found out. That God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and of a sound mind. I found out that I have the mind of Christ. I found out in my Bill of Rights that I didn't have to be tormented one day longer. And neither do you. And now, I have the mind of Christ. And now, I have the peace of God. That passeth all understanding. You got a right to a sound mind. You got a right to live above fear. Woo, glory to God. You have a right to live in supernatural peace. No more torment. No more thinking about what could be, what might be. No. You don't talk about what could be and what might be. You just call those things that be not as though they were.
Amen.
And be it unto me according to the word of the living God. Most Christians don't know who they are or what they have in Christ. They have an attitude of, oh, woe is me. If you look at the news, you could get bummed out real quick. The good news will always overcome the bad news. Are you listening to me? But many people have this attitude, oh, the enemy's just taking over everything. That's not New Testament Christianity. New Testament Christianity is greater is he. That'll make you walk. That'll make you leap. That'll make you praise God. New Testament Christianity is greater is he. That is in you than he that is in the world. New Testament Christianity is nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Woo, glory to God. Come on, I want you to say it like you're a tough guy. Say it with me,
I'm more
than a conqueror
through him
who loves me.
Amen.
The devil's shaking in his boots. He fears believers who know their rights. Faith begins where the will of God is known. In closing, back in 1977, Brenda and I graduated from Raymond. We went to work for Kenneth E. Hagin Ministries. I worked in shipping and receiving. Then I worked over in his tape duplication, and I was given the privilege to edit several of his series. Brenda worked in the prison.
Well, the communication.
You weren't in prison. You worked in communication. But this was back in 1978, and I want to close with this because this is a prophetic word from Dad Hagin as he was in this series on the name of Jesus. If you do not have the book, The Name of Jesus by Kenneth E. Hagin, get it.
Yes.
Get the Legacy Edition. It is so power-packed.
Yeah.
So the following prophetic utterance came through tongues and interpretation as Kenneth E. Hagin taught on the name of Jesus. Seminar of April of 1978. But yea, come ye, says the Lord, with an open heart and a mind that is receptive to my word. And the truth of the word of God shall dawn upon your spirit. And you shall realize that you are thoroughly furnished with all that you need. Now listen to this. To meet the enemy in combat from day to day. And so thou shalt be victorious, not just once in a while, but every single day of thy life. Thou shalt put the enemy to flight, and thou shalt enjoy victory in every fight. But some would say, oh, that sounds too good to be true. I've tried before to walk in the light of what I thought was God's word, and it just won't work for me. I just don't know what's wrong. Yea, says the Lord. Humble yourself before me and my word, and acknowledge with all sincerity, thy word is truth. Everyone say, thy word is truth.
Thy word is truth.
And I will stand upon thy word, and I will speak forth thy word, and I will pick up that name with all of its authority, all of its majesty, all of its excellence, and all of its glory. Even the name that's above every name, because that name is mine. And from this day forward, I refuse to relent. I will refuse to be defeated. Come on, somebody. Say with me,
I refuse
to be defeated. Then the Spirit of the Lord continues to say through Dad, but I will stand my ground and enjoy the fullness of all of the blessings that belongeth unto me. Yea, saith the Lord, Lord, learn all that belongs unto you. Study to show, and the Spirit of the Lord will unto you show the mightiness of his glory, the greatness of his authority, the reality of his presence, and you shall stand in his name, and it will be a strong tower unto thee. For protection against all the storms of life and the onslaughts of the enemy and all that the enemy shall seek to do unto thee. You need not cry out in fear and cry out in desperation, but in all calmness and peace and serenity of heart and mind, you can say, the truth I do find. Say with me, the truth I do find. I have found the way of life and truth. I have found the way of majesty, of royalty and goodness. For Jesus has overcome, and his name, with all of its majesty and all of its glory, today it's mine. I will exercise my right and walk in the light of his word. You have something. Praise the Lord. You have something. Glory to God. Ha ha ha. Londri kasata la masata. Oh, you do have a mic. Yeah. Thank you.
Itro stondre veka. Any musubrivata. And it's not just a mekata, not just one time use of the name, but it is on a daily basis. Oh, hallelujah. And nemesa, knowing where you are seated and knowing, what has been given unto you. And namasata, not just a head knowledge, but a revelation. Walking in the revelation. Hallelujah. And as you do these things, you will always triumph. This scripture kept coming up in my heart as Pastor was preaching in 2 Corinthians 2:14, and he referenced it. But thanks be to God who in Christ always, everybody say it, always. He always causes us to triumph. Always causes us to triumph. And there are some of you in here that you feel like a failure and you feel defeated. But I want to remind you, says the Lord Jesus Christ, that in me, I always cause you to triumph. Hallelujah. And I lead you from victory to victory. Yes, maybe you have failed. Yes, you have probably missed it. We all have. But I never have, says the Lord. And in me, I always cause you to triumph. Hallelujah. So bagresobaka. So no longer say, I'm a failure. I'm a loser. Oh, I'm defeated. No, rise up and in the name of Jesus say, He always causes me to triumph. And when we walk in that victory that He has provided, then the Bible says, through us He spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. Everybody stand up and realize this. You have a smell about you. And it is called old to victory. Glory to God. Old to victory. And as you begin to walk in what I have provided, says the Lord, wherever you go and whatever you do, people are going to say, what's that smell? That is such a sweet smell coming from you. And you can declare, it says, you are evident and you spread the fragrance of the smell of victory in Christ wherever you go. So bandarata, remember that. Walk in that. Hallelujah. Let's all declare it. I walk in victory. Always. Always triumphant in Christ. Always. Hallelujah. Always victorious. Ho. And I am a dreshtabaha. I'm a carrier of that victory. Glory to God. And it's on me and it flows through me. Glory be to God. You may sobreta. Remember that Nike. You know, Nike is a popular, or was, still is, popular brand. Ida masubra. What's their little logo? It's like a swoosh. And you know what it means? Doesn't it mean victory? It means victory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Ha ha ha. For victory.